Tonight I'm going to start what I expect to be two messages on He Was a Good Man. And I begin by asking the question, what is a good man? What qualifies a person to be called a good man? What is good? As Bible believers, you and I would say that a person must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ through salvation to be called good. And that certainly is essential. And that would be the foundation, basic. Now we readily acknowledge, because there's no way it can be denied, what Isaiah the prophet says in the 64th chapter and the 6th verse, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, you know, that's true of us as believers as well. You know, typically when I read that verse, I think of that as far as an unsaved person and our righteousness is a filthy rags. We can't get salvation that way. But our righteousness, our goodness, we often refer to that as self-righteousness. Uh-huh. Okay? Self-proclaimed goodness. Oh, boy, isn't that great of me? Okay? And a person wouldn't say that, but they might think it. Okay? And so, our righteousness, well, I'm not like my neighbor. That's coming pretty close. Or I'm not like my cousin. That's coming pretty close to the man in the temple.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And the one who smote his chest. Okay? And then the other one who said, I'm not like. And so, Titus is a New Testament approach to this. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Now certainly, I could agree with the fact that it's better to be good than evil. It's better for a person, unsaved or saved, to do good things than to do bad things. But when it comes to the matter of righteousness and what is acceptable to God and what is going to help us in our Christian walk, then we're talking about a different type of righteousness. There is the fact that born again Christians, we are righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Romans, if you will. We'll look at two passages in Romans. Romans chapter 4. And then we'll look at chapter 5. But to begin with, Romans chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 3. Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Not to him that worketh, but to the one who believeth.
Amen.
Okay, his faith is counted for righteousness. I believed. It was counted to me for righteousness. You believe. You believe the gospel. You believed what the Holy Spirit convicted you of regarding who you are, what your condition was, and how God saw you. You believed what you were told. Turn to God. You repented. And he tells us here in verse 5, your faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. God's Spirit was working in you. He brought you to the place where you could believe. You believe.
Amen.
Okay? And so, chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Yes, 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Boy, isn't that nice? Not just grace, abundance of grace. And of the gift of righteousness. We have the gift of life. We have the gift of eternal life. Here it's called the gift of righteousness. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So we have the gift of righteousness. We are indeed made righteous by divine grace, the abundance of grace. I was 15 when I turned to God through Jesus Christ, and he tells me here that the gift of righteousness was given to me. Now listen, as a 15-year-old, I had no idea what was happening. I had no idea what was taking place. The Bible was preached, and I believed what was said. I believed it because it was from the Bible. I was in a church, and a preacher was preaching. I had no theological understanding of diddling. But the Spirit of God convicted me, spoke to my heart, and I responded. And we are told here that the gift of righteousness began to reign in my life by Jesus Christ. Now, it did in yours too. You say, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. It still happened. Okay? As you read the Bible, as you hear the Bible taught, you get some understanding of it. When I go out there, I'm going to put my key in the ignition. I'm going to turn it on. And normally, it's going to start. Okay, the Bible is infallible. So my illustration is not. But I put the key in. Now, I don't understand automobiles and mechanics and the electronics involved, okay? But it'll still work.
That's right.
Okay? Now, through the years, I've learned a little bit. You know, when something goes wrong, you take it to the garage and they explain a little bit.
Yeah.
I have mechanical friends, mechanics who are friends, and they've worked on my car and they've explained a little bit. So now when I go out and I sit in it, I got a little bit of an idea. Okay? But I can truly still say I don't really understand. And what he's telling us here is that the gift of righteousness is reigning in our lives by Jesus Christ. Now, there's two terms that are often used in talking about righteousness. One is the term imputed, and the other is imparted. And if this was an auditorium with a lot of pastors in, and we were to discuss this, it could get pretty heavy, pretty deep, pretty quick, and you would find me to get pretty silent because I don't have the depth that many, you know, pastors have regarding these two things. But basics, okay? It's imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Now, what's the difference? That's what I asked many years ago when I learned it, okay? And imputed righteousness is that we are declared to be righteous. God declares. We come, we confess our sins, we seek forgiveness, salvation. We turn to him, we repent, we return to him, and he imputes to us. He declares us to be righteous. Now, you've heard it said this way already, that when the devil comes and he goes before God and he accuses you of something, and Jesus Christ says, Father, he's one of your children. My blood has atoned for his sin. You are declared righteous by the Son before the Father. Now, we are not just declared righteous, imputed, okay? That's the term that's used, declared righteous. But we are also have imparted righteousness. Now, if I impart something to you, okay? Here's this cup of water. I ought to make use of it. Thank you, Zane. If I impart that to you, then I'm giving that to you, okay? Now, I can declare, Dale, this is your water. But if I come down there and hand it to you, now I've given it to you. Jesus declares us righteous, but he also imparts righteousness to us. He makes us righteous.
Amen.
You see, it's one thing to be declared righteous. It's said of us that we're righteous. That's a judicial action. But we are made righteous. When God the Father forgives our sin and the Spirit comes and lives within us, the Spirit of God makes us righteous. Now that's still the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he makes us righteous. Now, the outgrowth of that declared righteousness and the fact that he has made us righteous, the outgrowth of Christ's righteous life is what enables you and I to be called a good man, a good woman. Okay? Because now what we have is the work of God's righteousness that he has declared us and made us to be. Now we have that actually affecting our living. And that is what we would call the doctrine or the teaching of sanctification. All right? We are sanctified. We are set apart for God. And let's look at some Bible verses here. Romans 5:19. We're still in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, which we know from verse 17, we identified that, and you know that's Adam's disobedience. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be what? Made righteous. We're made righteous. So not only is it declared to be so of us, but it actually has happened.
Amen. That's good.
Now, Philippians chapter 3, and we'll come back to Romans, so you may want to keep your finger there, but we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 9, where the Apostle Paul says, and be found in him, not having... look at this. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Remember, I began pointing out that our righteousness, even as Christians, is as filthy rags. And Paul, who wants to, in verse 8, the very last word, say he wants to win Christ. Now, he was already born again. He was already saved. But he was talking about having such an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he was seeking. He was not satisfied to simply know he was saved and going to heaven and living basically right. He wanted to live completely right. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but what he wanted, here it is, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I made the statement, it's certainly better to do good than bad. Okay? What I'm going to call human goodness. Okay? It's better for you to obey the law, traffic laws, for example, than to disobey them. It's better for you to be kind to people, even when you don't feel, you know, if you feel grumpy, it's still good to not be grumpy, to be kind. But when we're talking here about righteousness, We're talking about that which God looks at and God evaluates. And it takes us from simply doing right because, well, we ought to do right. But it takes us to the level of doing right because we want to do right. And we want to, now listen, not only do right, but be right. You see, do right is right actions. But being right, which will bring right action, now has an attitude and a heart behind it that is not just conforming to a good lifestyle, but it's now motivated by the inner man who is being controlled by Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. While you're in Philippians, go to chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 11. And here the Apostle Paul, and it's in its context, but my purpose is the verse, so I'm not taking it out of context as far as the meaning we're giving it. It's just that I'm not going to take the time to develop the whole context. But he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, that we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. So you see, there are certain ways to live, certain ways to act. They're called here the fruits of righteousness, the results of righteousness. God declared us to be righteous. He made us to be righteous. And by the Holy Spirit that He has given to live in us, He now tells us our life should be producing certain things. He calls them fruits. Fruits of righteousness. Now I'll tell you, this hits home. Fruits of righteousness. Now, the fruits of righteousness is not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those actions are righteous actions, okay? So in a sense, they're overlapping. They're definitely very compatible. But he wants to produce a fruit of righteousness in Roger Hain. Roger Hain has a problem sometimes with patience. Okay? What do you mean, amen? Yeah. Yeah. I knew what you meant. Yeah. I knew what you meant. I could mess it up, Debbie. I'm sorry. And see, that's where the fruits of righteousness are. Now, every one of us has something different. Well, not everyone, because there aren't that many different things. But different people have different things where the fruits of righteousness can be shown. And they don't happen automatically. We've been declared righteous, we've been made righteous, and that righteousness in us, when we feed it, can I call it?
Yes, sir.
When we nurture it, then it produces fruits of righteousness. And that's the goal. And this, the outgrowth of that righteousness of God in us, is what we call sanctification. All right? Huh? You know, sanctification, that was always a term that was, okay? And even yet today, even though I know technically, academically, what it means, it still has a mystique about it to me. But all it is that when we live the way God intends us to live, we're going to please Him. Our lives are set apart for Him, and He will receive the honor and the glory. Now, it's the actual work of Jesus Christ. First, I'm going to end with this one. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Holiness.
Amen.
Which, in order to be holy, you've got to be righteous in your living. If you're righteous in your living, you're going to be holy. But that's what God hath called us to. Not to continue living the way we have and say, but I'm you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm only at a 6. But my husband's only at a 4, so I feel pretty good. Okay? And therefore, you know, I'm holier than he is. We're not to be comparing ourselves with one another, but to comparing ourselves with what God has for us and would have for us. Now, next time, we're going to look at a good man's life. Okay? Tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this. At least I call it fun. I have one particular man from the Bible who it is said of him he's a good man. Now there might be more, I don't know. Okay? I found the one that I needed to write this sermon. There might be other men. But find who is called a good man in the Bible. Now, there might be more than one. So I'm going to have more than one reward here. Okay? Now, I don't know what that reward will be. I guess I'm going to have to come prepared. I'll have to bring like a bag of Hershey Minis in case there's 10 or 12. Okay? And everybody gets some of them. Then I can bring 2 or 3 in case there's only 2 or 3 men in the Bible called good men, or in case there's 2 or 3 of you that find the man that I'm using. All right? And so I made myself a note here regarding candy. Now, if you don't want to participate with the candy, you don't have to. Just want to give the answer, that's fine. I'll take the candy home and eat it. But I just as well have a little bit of fun. It's just us, okay? And, you know, if we find out that we got 10 visitors in that night, then I may not, you know, play that sort of thing up because they may not understand that you can do that. You can go to church and be, in a right sense, lighthearted and still be serious in what you're dealing with. All right? So that's where we're going to go. Now, let's take some prayer requests.